First of all, like I said, I'd like to say welcome to this interview, Carlos. I hope you're doing fine over there because it's pretty early, right?
It's about 11 o'clock. I get up at about 7, so
Ah, okay.
I'm ready to go.
Okay, great to hear, man. Well, basically, the first question I have for you is, well, what's your story? When did you decide it was time to get the women and dating part of your life handled?
I started probably back, well, I started this company and what I do right now about 8 or 9 years ago, so I've been doing this for quite some time. But it wasn't too, it was maybe a few years before that that I decided I had to get this thing under control. And it was probably the result of a few bad relationships, relationships that I didn't feel like I had any control of. And the women were really kind of leading me around by the nose. And I didn't feel like I was in control of my emotions or how the relationship went in any way or shape or manner or form. So I had to learn how women function, first of all, how to get things started, and then how to keep it going. Because I think a lot of guys out there, they don't just want the pickup or the one night stand. I think they genuinely want to meet a woman that will last for a while. So that was part of my goal.
Well, basically, the thing is about most women, sorry, most women, most men, whenever they have a relationship with a beautiful woman, they think they've kind of the mindset that they've arrived, right? So I have a pretty girl now, I can stop making an effort of attracting her, etc., etc. And that's where things go wrong because it usually ends up with her thinking, this isn't the guy I was attracted to in the first place, so why am I still with him, right?
Yeah, I think guys have a lot of, it's weird. With men, we are really focused on 2 points in the relationship. Number one, the approach and getting things started and getting attraction started, because that's like a validation of our masculinity. And then number two, the opposite end of the spectrum, where they've screwed it up and now they want to fix it with a woman because they weren't paying attention and doing everything in between. So
sounds familiar. I've made some mistakes in the past too, obviously. But when did you realize you had, like, well, I wouldn't want to call it potential, but when did you realize you had something going here where men would actually be helped by your advice and your experience? When was the time where you said, let's start helping other guys meet women, just like I have helped myself?
I think it happened right about where I decided. I read some ebook or something that was out there on the internet, because this is back in the early days. I mean, honestly, I was probably doing this way before guys were doing this on the internet. I had a couple of books. They were called, what was the name of them? Oh, Love Tactics. There was Love Tactics 1 and Love Tactics 2. And they were actually really, they weren't bad books. They were really small, really short. But what they first told me and what they first taught me was that attraction is not logical. That was the big aha moment to maybe hit myself in the head and go, oh, yeah, you know? And then I realized, you know what? I have some legitimate hardcore, well, not hardcore, but some very practical tips that guys can really use. I mean, guys need to have something specific and concrete to do so that they can get the result, and then they feel a little bit better about themselves. Their self-esteem and their inner game goes up a notch, and then they're ready to do more. But they need those concrete things, just like the training wheels that we talk about.
Exactly. So, within our little circle of experts, we all know that women find bad boys highly attractive. But what's your definition of a bad boy, and what about a bad boy is attractive in your opinion?
I'm sorry, ask that again. What was that again?
Well, I was just saying how we all know, basically, at least we know, bad boys are found to be highly attractive by women. But a lot of guys have a lot of different definitions of what a bad boy really is and why he's so attractive to women. So, what's your opinion of their attractiveness? Why are they so attractive to women?
Well, there's two different bad boys. There's the bad boy that has the traits that women find attractive, and then there's the bad boy that is the guy that's not really all that good for women, right? And the guy that has the traits, well, the traits are what we need to look at and know when they've gone too far. Basically, a bad boy is what he demonstrates so much more than the nice guy is self-interest, self-preservation, and he's just more focused on himself, and he doesn't have that needy edge. A woman never feels like the bad boy is going to be clingy, crying on her shoulder, and doing all that wimpy stuff. She knows he's going to be fair, well, he's fairly well substantiated in his own self-esteem. And at the same time, he's also a lot of fun because of that, because he's so interested in having a good time and kind of being a little reckless in the moment. He also creates something in her, that sensation of energy and excitement that women need, that's also attractive as well. And, you know, unfortunately, it works against the nice guy because he's not understanding how to leverage that energy.
Yeah, exactly. Because most women and men too, basically, we all have, like, you know, daily routines and obligations, like paying our bills, you know, doing our homework, going to work, and sitting behind the same old desk for year in, year out. And basically, what we all want is an escape from that, right? Excitement in our life, you know, do something exciting. And I think bad boys provide that to women, basically. But I also kind of think it's more of the contradiction that you see in a lot of, well, I wouldn't call it modern day bad boys, but basically they're, like, you know, self-interested, you know, more egotistical compared to other men, and they really aren't looking for a shoulder to cry on. But at the same time, whenever they are around, you know, usually they're distant and kind of, how do you say it? Of course, self-interested, but usually when they're away, they're like that, but when they're with you, they're very passionate. I think that contradiction is also very attractive to him, because the moment he leaves, basically he gives her the gift of missing her, right? Of missing him, sorry.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of the how I look at bad boys, but... you mentioned some of the character traits, and I know a lot of them, but I'm betting that not all of the listeners out there know which character traits are really attractive to women. So, which traits are most important according to you, basically?
Well, I think the most important one right off the top is independence and a sense of self that is totally distinct from the woman. In other words, what happens with, I have to do it by kind of comparing to the nice guy, the guy that manages to somehow kill the attraction in a woman because he's going the opposite direction. The best way to understand that is when a nice guy is too interested in her and too responsive to her and just too there and too into her, what he tends to do is he starts to, he has what we call a boundary issue. It's a term that actually comes from psychology, where he stops defining himself as ending with himself, and he starts including the woman inside his own definition of himself. In other words, I'll give you a very practical example of this. When a woman is in a bad mood, what's the first thing a nice guy does? Well, he starts to assume that it's either because of something he's done, or that he has some influence on it, and his own mood cannot be good while hers is not good. So he starts to, his mood changes with her mood. And so he starts to demonstrate that he doesn't have a good boundary between him and her, and now she starts to feel like, Jesus, this guy's going to ride every emotional wave with me. That's going to be of no, you know, that's just totally uncool. Whereas the bad boy is the complete opposite. If she has a bad mood, it's her own freaking problem. Go have that over there. I'm going to have a good time over here, and when you're back to normal, come on back.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the, you know, that's the way that the best way to distinguish it, because the bad boy has such a clear definition of himself. Unfortunately, that distinction doesn't include the healthier aspects of having another woman in your life, which is recognizing that her mood may have something to do with you, and you could have some influence there. It's not to say that you should be unhappy when she's unhappy and follow her mood exactly, but you have some influence and maybe sometimes some sort of responsibility there.
Yeah, basically what most men do whenever they end up being in a relationship is, like you said, they start including the woman in their lives, but there comes a moment in time when her life becomes his life. That's what I see in a lot of guys who will end up messing up their relationship, is that, for example, they, you know, they date her, and like around... like 3 months in the relationship, they end up with all her friends being their friends, you know what I mean? And their own friends either disapproved of by her or talk to less and less. And basically, her life and her free time activities like sports and stuff, he starts doing too. So basically, he gives up his own life for her, and that's what most women are killed by it. Basically, they're turned off by it, right?
Exactly.
And another problem that most guys have is approach anxiety, right? How to walk up to a woman without, well, being nervous, choking up, knowing what to say, that kind of stuff. That's one of the most common problems out there. But what is your advice for, like, well, a guy who's just, you know, new in this whole improving the women in dating part of his life? And what can you give him for advice when it comes to conquering his approach anxiety?
I think the most important thing, especially with approach anxiety, is to not memorize a bunch of stuff to try and overcome it.
Standard canned pickup lines, right?
Yeah, exactly. You don't need too much. As a matter of fact, that's what guys tend to look at, is they think that's the solution. Oh, if I had this thing to say, that would cure the problem. But the fact of the matter is, if you ask any one of those guys if they have any problem talking to women that they, number one, don't find attractive, or number two, they're related to, or number three, if they have any problems talking to another guy that they know, they'll all say, no, why? And they don't see that there's a difference there. The reasoning isn't because you don't have something cool to say, it's because you're thinking something different about that person and you're making it harder for yourself, not
yep.
that there's anything different about that situation. So the first thing to do is give them one good thing to open up with that's very easy to use, it's almost a surefire opener of some kind, and then get them comfortable just overcoming that one initial speed bump of walking up and talking to a woman. I mean, it's got to be simple, and it has to be successful a high ratio of the time so that the guy feels like he's got some control over it, like he's got some ability to influence his own direction when it comes to approaching women. So it's got to be super, super simple. And if they're, you know, again, if a guy, I have to caution any guy that's listening to this, if you're using a complicated, cool sounding opener just because it's got that technical feel or something, you're really shooting yourself in the foot, because you're going right against what's going to happen, and is you're going to go up in your head to try and recall that cool line or use it when you need to use it, and you're going to screw it up probably. So you got to use something super simple, just open the conversation, and then be there, be very present in the conversation, because it's not what you say, the first thing you say, it's what you say to what she says next
yeah.
that really matters.
It's what she says after and how you respond to that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man, and I think one of the problems about, you know, the whole approach anxiety phenomenon is basically that men start overthinking things. You know, they're starting to be in their head instead of being in the moment. And that's really important, I think. But what you say about a really simple line, can you give us an example of how you would open, for instance, a brunette that's standing on the onto your left or whatever? how would you approach
it? There's a couple of ways that I would do it. I go back to the most simple and usually the most honest ways. There's two ways that I would like to, that I would normally use. And there's obviously, it kind of corresponds to direct and indirect.
Yeah.
If there's a guy that's very afraid of putting his sexual interest out there for whatever reason, you got to realize that being indirect with the way you open or approach a woman is a lower risk, but it's also a lower return way of opening. In other words, you have lowered risk, but at the same time, you're also decreasing the chances that she's going to respond to you in a sexual way. She's going to think you're very neutral if you go open that way. Whereas if you go in with a direct opener, which is what I call higher risk, because you know there's a higher likelihood that you may or may not be interested, and you're putting yourself out there really quick.
Yeah.
But it also has a higher return because the woman senses that, and ironically, the more interest you put out up front, the more risk you're putting out there, the more she's likely to respond to it. It's kind of like a gambler that goes to the table and he puts out these little itty bitty bets, you know, these little nickel and dime bets, and he manages to make the money last for a while, but he never really wins very big. And he makes it last for, again, it lasts, but it just doesn't do anything for him. Whereas the guy that comes to the table with a lot of money has confidence, and he's going to scare off the other players, and he's going to actually have a lot more power and persuasion there. So I'll give you an example of one I like to use, which is, this is more direct, by the way,
yeah.
Is, hey, you know what, I just had to come over here and say something to you. I was going to think of something really clever to say, but it just escaped me. I just wanted to say hi, you know, or something along the lines of, you know what, you have this really cool energy about you, and I knew I'd be kicking myself all day if I didn't just come over and say hi. My name's Carlos. You know, those are very direct, very easy to do, very easy to use, and as you can tell, I've said them quite a bit, so they come out fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And I actually have to sometimes purposely make them a little bit awkward so that they don't sound too rehearsed, you know?
Yeah.
An indirect way, a good indirect way would be to come over and say something like, "Hey, do you have the time?" And then as she starts to look at her watch, you don't let her go very far, or she's about to say something, you just stop her and say, "Okay, forget that. I just had to have an excuse to come over here and flirt with you." And that's that's pretty much it. And she'll laugh at that. You know, it's a good way of getting her to laugh right off the bat, and it's also just very disarming, very easy to get in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, you've said several times in the past that the fastest way to build a rapport with a woman is by revealing some vulnerability. But to a lot of guys, they don't really have an idea of what vulnerability really is without, you know, being a wimp, right? So, how can a man display it without, you know, feeling really, really uncomfortable or like a big-ass wussy?
Well, you know, it goes back to my analogy of the gambler at the table. You're not, if you don't have the money, you can't put down the big bets, right? If you don't have the money in the bank, you can't write big checks. So at the same time, if you don't feel that level of self-confidence or self-esteem about yourself, don't overbet yourself. Don't put yourself out there for too much risk. Don't reveal too much vulnerability. But every guy can reveal something, you know, some area of your life where you've pretty much got it kind of under control, right? Like maybe you're some guy that's, I have a friend, a good friend of mine from high school who pretty much was balding at the age of like 21 or 22. And like it's a long time after that now, and he's really gotten used to it. As a matter of fact, he's gotten to the point where it's like, okay, I'm way past caring about the fact that I'm bald. So that's one area of his life, even if he's kind of insecure about everything else, that's one area where he could use as a little area of vulnerability. He said, he can say something like, you know, I'm trying for the Jean-Luc Picard look from Star Trek. What do you think? Do I have it? And, you know, being able to put it out there and make a point of something that most guys do feel is a vulnerability, or, you know, something that's a little bit sensitive to them, is going to, again, separate you from the rest by putting it out there.
Yeah, because to women, that's what real confidence is about, right? Sharing, making a mistake and feeling comfortable about it, or feeling a vulnerability and still feeling comfortable afterwards, right? That's, I think, what real confidence is to women, yeah.
I mean, think about all the people in your life that you know, and think about the ones that are most socially attractive. They typically are people that have a good sense of themselves, and as a result, they feel good enough about themselves that they can give to other people. These are the people that I call charged. They're fully charged. Like, everybody's a battery, and we all have a certain level of charge to us, right? You know, if you don't have a lot of charge to you, everybody senses that you're looking to kind of hook your connectors up and drain a little bit of their energy to make you feel better about yourself. Yeah. And it's just not cool. But if you, at the same time, if you're one of those people that's managed to charge themselves up, you know, like I tell guys, the game of approach and the game of getting women is a lot less about the women and what to say than it is about you feeling good about yourself and doing things that enhance your life, you know, hobbies you like, building yourself up from the inside out.
Yeah.
If a guy's got that under control, really attracting women isn't the issue, because he really just, it, you lose that stink of neediness because you're not looking for a woman to complete you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the misconceptions too, right? That you know, guys and girls too, by the way, are looking for that better half, or that blah, blah, blah. Basically, that whole mindset behind it is, well, flawed, because basically, why should you need anyone to complete your life? They're only a very nice addition to your life, right? That's I think, also where guys go wrong, and, you know, end up letting their lives be lived by a woman instead of living their own lives, because basically they think she's their better half, or that kind of well, crappy stuff, in my opinion.
And this also traces itself back to evolutionary psychology, which, you know, whether you or not you care about the science, it's actually kind of cool to know that subconsciously she's got all these triggers in her that you can fire off. And this one works, because how could a woman possibly trust a guy that was going to rely on her for survival? He would never be able to lead her. He would never be able to lead the family. He would never be able to take initiative and do the difficult things. He'd always be like, "Honey, what do you think? Should I kill that dinosaur, or should we run?" You know, she doesn't have time for that. She can't possibly afford to gamble her offspring and the success of her genes on some guy that can't make a decision for himself. And the same thing is true about guys that, you know, just aren't self-directed enough on their own terms and take life on their own terms.
Yeah, exactly. And now that you mention, you know, the whole psychology, you know, the whole science about it, I don't know if you've read Jeffrey Miller's book, you know, The Mating Mind. But, well, one of the things I always, well, kind of laugh about is In this whole seduction community that's out there, where guys are saying like, if you're too needy, or if you have, if you do too much for a woman, you're like an, how do you say it? You have one-itis, you know, the disease that you're like infatuated by one woman. But what I think is funny about it is because the moment you take a risk for a woman is the moment she'll know that you have a genuine interest in her. And basically, when you look at things from a science perspective, when we're still when we were still living in tribes and that kind of stuff, whenever a man wouldn't dare to take risk, he would definitely not become the leader of the group, because at that time we had like elephants, lions, and that kind of stuff around us. We were much more vulnerable than we are now, because we didn't have big cities and stuff. So basically, whenever someone says something like that to me, I always say, but what about, have you forgot our history? Because the moment you take a risk for a woman, and I'm not talking about risking your life or anything, no, but that's one of the things people underestimate, because I can tell from experience. For example, my girlfriend is an is from the Middle Eastern, and the whole culture behind it is very traditional. So she isn't really allowed to have a boyfriend, a man, or basically talk to any man for that matter. And the moment I showed to her that I really wasn't impressed with all that culture crap, that I chose her and not her parents or her culture or whatever, that's the moment she knew I was genuinely interested. And that's, I think, is the difference between, one-itis and taking a risk. But how do you think about it, about, taking a risk? What? How can a man display such a genuine interest, basically?
Well, I hate to reuse the same analogy, but the risk metaphor comes back into play, like a gambler, right? If you don't have the money, you don't feel comfortable risking. I mean, there's very few guys that can feel like they're backed up, like they've got some clout behind them, if they don't have, putting it in terms of psychology, if you don't feel that comfortable or that confident about yourself, taking risks is going to be very difficult, because you don't even feel like you've got your own house in order. You don't feel like you're, your own. You're dealing with life, and in that respect, you're never going to have the success you can possibly have with women until you fix that. I know there's a lot of guys that try and bypass this little element, and in the end, we come back around to it again and again and again. Every single guy that I've talked to realizes that most of their problem with women is inner game. It's not. It has nothing to do with really technical aspects. I've seen guys that are technically total freaking idiots with women, manage to succeed with women left and right, but only because they have a lot of bravado and they have a good sense of themselves, and women can just pick that out instantly. And at the same time, if a guy has totally smooth, totally cool game, and she detects that underneath that he's kind of putting up a false front, it doesn't work. She's going to test him and test him until he finally crumbles, and then she just walks away going, uh-huh, I thought so.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't put it in any better words, man. Well, basically, what I'm also wondering is, a lot of guys out there have heard of you because you were like in the top 10 of the greatest pickup gurus, or however you want to call it. I don't attach too much value to the whole, community, favorite picks, or Oscars, or however you want to call it, but I think a lot of guys are curious about what is like your favorite personal technique or routine or story about your success with women. So what's your personal favorite story about meeting and dating women?
Me as in my dating with women and how I've been able to be successful?
Yeah. Can you like tell us a success story or something like that?
Yeah, it's interesting. They almost always happen as a result of being in more of a relationship than just dating around. Yeah. But one of the times that I realized I was finally starting to make some headway on this whole pursuit of getting better with women was one of the girlfriends I had who was she was a real perfect example. I could not have been sent a more perfect test of my abilities and test of my skills in this girl, because she was a little bit crazy, as most women are, and I had to deal with that. And then of course there's also other elements. She's also really intelligent, she's also socially perceptive, even though she didn't always react very well, she did know what was going on. And she also had a good vocabulary for kind of feeding back her experiences of what we were doing in a relationship. So you can imagine this was a really challenging environment for me to be in.
Yeah.
But right from the very start, I was applying strategies, you know, that I knew were not necessarily intuitive for me, but I knew they were right. So in one respect, they weren't, it was a little bit of faking it before you make it.
Yeah.
But I knew that it wasn't faking it necessarily because that's the way I wanted to be. I didn't think
your ideal self, right?
That was the person I was going to be. Yeah, exactly. I was pointing myself in the right direction. Even though I wasn't there yet, I was assuming that identity first. So I don't consider that faking it. I consider that kind of pre-assuming your identity. In any case, the first thing I did, I remember, was she was just out of a relationship from her previous boyfriend, so I knew that if I started to rush her into a new relationship, that wasn't going to work. So I purposely, you know, I kept her away. I didn't call her very much. I made sure that I canceled dates as much as I set them. I remember distinctly telling her, you know what, I think it's pretty good if we just kind of see other people for a while. And she went along with that too. And I waited, and it was so funny because the moment I finally realized I had a grip on this was we were in a restaurant up here in, it's called Marin County, it's Mill Valley, an area of the San Francisco Bay Area. It's actually where some famous people live. Of all people, Sammy Hagar, I think, is one of them. We're in this restaurant, and we're sitting there, and we're drinking wine and just talking. And out of the blue, she says, you know, I don't think we should be seeing other people now. I think I'm ready for something, you know, more exclusive with you. And I knew that, like, then, right then and there, I just kind of felt myself patting myself on the back going, finally, it worked, because I didn't set it up that way. I knew that I had to wait for her to ask for it. I also knew that it would never have happened had I been pushing her the whole way, trying to force her into, you know, starting a good dating relationship, or at least a monogamous dating relationship. So it just all kind of came together in that moment where I realized, wow, everything I was doing and the faith I was putting into it paid off. And, you know, from there on, I just, you know, I learned quite a bit from one of my favorite sayings is that you're going to learn more in the context of a long-term relationship than you will in any other kind. You know, if you're just dating a girl, you're not going to learn some of the things about your own ability with women that you would learn if you were staying with her for at least 6 months to, you know, maybe longer.
Yeah.
So, learn quite a bit from her in that respect.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean with what you just said, because basically, whenever you're, like, dating around, you know, that's kind of my metaphors for it. It's like one day you take a sandwich with peanut butter, second day you take a sandwich with cheese, but it's always a sandwich, right? And the moment you you start going deep, you know, you also get to you know, explore more deeper sides of your inner game. Your insecurities, your things you're uncomfortable with, settings you're uncomfortable in, you know, because certain types of restaurants, I'm just saying, but I've noticed too myself that when I was dating around, it felt more like using technique A, technique B, and exploring, well, different kinds of sandwiches. But the moment I ended up being in serious relationships was the moment I started really feeling successful with women, because that's more about depth, right? Going all in, putting all your chips in, and that's also more vulnerability on your part. If you go all in, don't you agree?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The ability to again put yourself on the line. It's the definition I had, and I forgot what program I put this in, but I was talking about the concept of faith, and not in a religious or necessarily a spiritual sense, but faith is really just this future confidence we put in a certain outcome.
Yeah.
So we put ourselves on the line and just, you know, our faith is, you know what, after all I've learned about this and after all I've intellectualized, I know it needs to be this way. And even though I can't feel it right now, I'm taking a step towards realizing it by just doing this. You know, even though it isn't comfortable for me, even though it isn't necessarily the short-term thing to do in a lot of people's eyes, I know what I'm going after, and it just it takes a certain level of faith to be able to put yourself out there and put that kind of risk sometimes on the line. But it doesn't have to be a painful risk either, and I think that's something the guys have to understand. Now, this stuff, as painful as it sounds, it never really is.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and it isn't it basically all about having a purpose? Because the moment, let's talk about attraction, for example, the moment you start assuming attraction in advance, you're basically creating a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because the moment you assume she already likes you, you start relaxing, you start opening up yourself, you start being more social, you're more, you're in a more reactive state than when you're like tense and thinking she's the ultimate super hot Pamela Anderson type babe. That's a whole different kind of mindset. And I think whenever you start assuming, your ideal outcome or your ideal self, however you want to put it, you have lots more success because you start living like your ideal self. Now, that's one of the psychology things. I think it was, in Brian Tracy's book, The Psychology of Achievement. I think I learned it from that book, because basically if you have a purpose, you're also, and it's not necessarily a purpose with women, but if you have a purpose outside of her, such as a company or, guys who are very athletic and a friend of mine is a basketball pro, he has a purpose outside of any woman he meets and they're very much attracted to it. It doesn't really matter what kind of purpose it is, but somehow, I don't know, it kind of pushes their buttons, you know?
Yeah, they sense a deep point in your life. You've got something else you're attached to other than her. It's kind of super simple.
Independence, yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Looking. Yeah, I mean, it's also a statement of ambition, which is something a woman needs to see, because again, it goes back to those psychological evolutionary triggers that in order for a woman to feel attracted to you, she's got to know that you'll make the right decision irrespective of how she thinks about it or what she thinks about it, or even that it involves her necessarily. You'll still do the right thing and go forward.
Yeah, exactly. Well, basically, one of the other things I wanted to talk about in this interview was body language, because I see a lot of guys, well, basically screwing up their own chances without them knowing it, because basically they think it's all about, what should I say, how should I say it, but well, the majority of our communication is done with our body, but a lot of guys, are interested in how can I tell if a woman is interested in me, but I want to know what your opinion is on how to display as a man the body language that attracts women. So, the composure kind of stuff of the equation.
Yeah.
Do you have kind of
honestly,
tips for that?
I think the most important thing guys can do, again, with body language is don't go into complicated, orchestrated things to make your body language a certain way. Don't try the whole mirroring, pacing, any of that stuff, because what you're doing is going back into your head. Yeah, you get mirroring and pacing is meant to be something that you fall into doing, not that you push yourself into doing. Yeah. The best thing you can do for your body language is simply to, first of all, just fix your posture overall. I think posture is one of the things that guys can take conscious control over, and you can do it quickly and effectively, and it doesn't take a lot of thinking, and that's important. I think you need to, get a straight back. You can do the exercise where you put your back against a wall and your heels, your butt, your shoulders, and the back of your head should all be touching the wall, and feel what that feels like, and realize that whatever you've been doing has probably been kind of a hunched over version of that.
Yeah, Neanderthal version.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of a caveman. And then the second thing to do is to is to work on being more expansive, just being more open and letting your body move a little bit more, like being expressive in conversations, when you're sitting down, to kind of expand the amount of area that you take up. I had to really do this quite a bit, which is one of the things I do when I'm out, and this is something any guy can do, if you're in a bar environment of any kind, is to make sure that there's some part of you inside the bubble, there's a like personal space bubble, and it differs by culture, but generally speaking, you know where these limits are with people. You want to be inside that bubble in some very non-threatening way. Like, I will make sure to put my foot on her bar stool. If I'm sitting on a bar stool next to her or I'm near her, I put my foot on her bar stool. That shows that I'm comfortable being in her space, and I've got this kind of openness about myself where I'm not scared of taking over a little extra space. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure, man. And, one of the things I also noticed about, from my own experience when meeting women outside or in a club is, like you said, how you use your own body language can also make them more comfortable. But do you have, any other tips for, guys who are just getting started with the whole well, fixing their love life basically. Do you have any body language tips whenever they want to feel a woman more relaxed or want to open up a woman more, that kind of stuff?
Again, I always I'm kind of conscious about the fact that if I tell a guy to do something a little too complicated, it gets in the way of his just being in the moment, because then you start thinking about how do I make this happen, when you should be thinking about how do I experience what's going on right now and just kind of let it flow from that. But that's kind of esoteric, and again, guys need specific things. One thing is to get physically in contact with a woman as soon as you possibly can, and to do it in a non-threatening way. One of the best ways is when you first walk up to a woman is to put your hand on her shoulder just for a brief second, or put it on her hand, or put it on her forearm. And what that does is it performs the function that what women do with their body language. If you ever watch a woman with a group of other women, what do? They're always touching each other. They're always trying to level set, and what this does is it changes the emotions of the group. It equalizes the emotional energy. When one woman touches another woman, she's making sure that that woman isn't either offended or hurt, or even, way off of where she is emotionally. It reconnects with that woman. So that's how women use it, and guys need to do this a little bit more too. And it won't come across as effeminate. If anything, it'll actually come across as much more attractive and much more charismatic, in kind of a Don Juan-ish sort of way. You'll know what her energy is, and she'll sense yours. So touching frequently, or at least immediately, and then kind of escalating, excuse me, escalating that touch later on is really important.
Yeah, exactly. But what guys are, we're like raised with the whole idea that touching is wrong, or basically the only touching we ever get to do is like punching a guy in his face or whatever. That's kind of the whole mindset we bring to the table, and I think a lot of guys need to reprogram themselves with that kind of stuff. It's the same with the whole learning how to meet women and how to date them is manipulation, blah blah blah. But basically, what you're doing when you're quote unquote being yourself and buying a woman flowers, or giving her as much compliments as you can, is not being you. You're basically trying to seek her approval, trying to buy her approval with all kinds of gifts and crap, and that is basically manipulation. But again, we as men are like raised well, pretty much by women, because most of our fathers are like at work, duh. But that's how it used to be. It's getting more and more equal these days, luckily. But most of us are raised well by women, and what do women do? They give like female values to men, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, but well, basically the whole flowers kind of stuff, you always see, mothers telling their sons that kind of stuff. But do you think it's wrong or right? How can guys reprogram themselves with all the bad assumptions about meeting women and dating?
A lot of it is coming from the media. I mean, guys have been really poorly programmed by movies and television
Yeah,
and things like
Pretty
that.
Woman, that kind of movies.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just totally off the mark in one respect, and that is that it's not that the things that they're doing are wrong, it's the when and how that they're being used. It's the emotional energy that's supposed to be being communicated. See, it's not the flowers that the woman wants, it's the woman wants to know that she's cherished and appreciated. And the flowers become kind of symbolic of that, and that's what kind of turns her on, is it's something immediately visual that says, hey, that's, it's for real. And a woman is always looking for that kind of validation, the same way a man is looking for his validation within a relationship too. So it's not that these things are necessarily wrong, but it's how they're used. Guys tend to take those things and use them as a crutch for the real thing they should be doing. Like, instead of giving her flowers on the first date and taking her to an expensive restaurant, you fail to see the fact that what you first need to do is establish that initial spark of sexual attraction and chemistry. Otherwise, the rest of it is totally pointless. And that comes with a certain amount of pacing, a certain amount of calibration. So don't rely on these crutches of outside things when you have all this, incredible resource within you. And again, it comes down to, if a guy isn't feeling very confident about himself or feeling good about his own self-esteem, that he's not going to believe he has it, so he's going to rely on these outside things to communicate it. And that's where he gets his disappointments.
Yeah, basically what you said about those crutches, I think it's remarkable that whenever I coach guys if they're in a game, they a lot of times mention to me like I need to have value in order to get the really beautiful woman women the kinds that are my type, that kind of stuff, you know, the whole assumption that they need value. And well, the first thing I ask him is, what does value to you, mean to you? Like most guys answer, yeah, you have to like wear fancy clothes, the whole flowers kind of stuff, that kind of old school seduction quote unquote techniques. And the whole what you kind of see in the community is the peacocking phenomenon, where they dress up like really well, ridiculous, in my opinion. And guys tend to use a lot of crutches to meet and date women. But again, I think that's because they well seek concrete things. They don't necessarily, because whenever we say to them, work on your character traits, work on your inner game, it's much too how do you say it?
It
It's
seems
much
like
too
it's
out there
too.
for them, right?
Yeah, too esoteric and too hard for them to understand. Like, okay, so what exactly do I have to do to make my inner game better? And most people don't have the answers to that. So the easy path is to go out there and do something on the outside and hope that it works. Well, it's actually a combination of the two. And this is actually a good point I want to bring up. A lot of guys think that this whole talk about confidence and inner game, first of all, that it's difficult, and it's really not. It's only because there haven't been very good tools given out there for guys to learn it. One of the things that I teach, and it's in my, a lot, every one of my programs, is that a guy has to be doing something on the outside that connects to something he's working on the inside for it to really have an effect on his inner game. It can't just be some ebook that you read and you're going to suddenly have more confidence about yourself. It doesn't work that way. You have to take one thing, apply it, get a good result, and then you feel good about it, and that translates back into your sense of inner game again, and it creates this cycle. It's like when a guy walks up and he uses a line or an opener on a woman, and it works. What does he feel? He feels a boost in his self-confidence and his self-esteem, which makes him what? Do it more and, do things more often. He doesn't always understand why, but that's why. That's why you need outer game stuff to reinforce the inner game stuff, but you need both of them. It doesn't work with one or with the other. It has to be both.
Yeah, exactly. It's like in a game first, and the techniques and the display of value, or whatever you want to call it, comes afterwards, right? But one of the things I'm also, well, basically is one of my favorite subjects, is also kind of an outside thing, but not necessarily, because it can also, stimulate the inner game part of the equation. And that's basically, creating a social circle for yourself, creating the lifestyle that attracts women into your life without much effort, right? And also, I think you also mentioned a couple times on your website about creating the ideal lifestyle. But and again, that's the whole guy thing, with concreteness. But can you like give a couple of examples of how a guy can create his own lifestyle, his own attractive lifestyle, basically?
Yeah, the alpha lifestyle is the underlying philosophy of everything I teach, because when a guy's living his alpha lifestyle, he's got the inner game elements, not necessarily perfect. Nothing is going to be perfect, but he's got them to a point where they're under his control, and by virtue of that, he starts to get some of the outer game stuff very much under his control. Things like his game with women, his financial success, his success with his family and his friends in terms of social success, his career, all that stuff comes in the lump. So when the guy's got all those things under his control, and he's got them, to a certain degree, in his where he wants them, really is what it all is all about. Because every man's alpha lifestyle to him is going to be something different and unique. One of the key elements, though, of it, to be something specific, is, let's give a very easy one, which is hobbies, things that he totally digs doing and are totally interesting to him. These are the things that he finds himself in a state of what they call flow, where you lose track of time, where you would actually pay somebody to have the time to do that thing if that's what it takes to do that thing. For me, it's playing guitar. I mean, I would actually pay somebody to find the time to be able to play and to jam along with tunes I like, all that stuff. I would find the time, or I would find the money to pay to have that time if it took that. and that's a passion to me, and that tells me right there, okay, it's a natural strength of mine, it's a natural interest. So that's something that's a core part of my life, and I don't give that up, and that becomes a little, you know, if you had a little diagram of you, it was like a big circle, yeah. And then inside that diagram, you had all these little elements. You want to start figuring out what those little elements are. I've got this pretty big circle that's music and guitar, and then I've got another circle that's martial arts. I'm a martial arts instructor, and it's a very important thing for me because cool. Not only is it great physical, but it's also great
mentally,
philosophical and spiritual.
Yeah.
And the things that I teach in martial arts also translate right over into pickup and approaching women, amazingly enough. It all just kind of runs together, so that's another big part. It's all these little lifestyle, these things that don't seem to deal with women, that are very, 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 very important to women when it comes time to talk to them. Because if you don't have those things, you know, under your belt, so to speak, what are you going to talk about? Well, you're going to fall back on things you think you should be talking about rather than you feel you should be talking about. And you'll feel it when you know you've got a passion that you really have to communicate. You know, there's also like charity things I do. The Save the Children is one of the things that I donate money to regularly. And I know that I get a picture of a kid that I directly sponsor, and I get to talk about that kid. Now that's something you can see my energy pick up and my emotion and my eyes light up, and she will too. So those are lifestyle elements that every guy can be putting into place to really increase and enhance his game.
Yeah, and when it comes to, you know, just starting, do you think it's a, well, basically I think it's a good idea to start with your own talents, because you know, for example, I'm very much into basketball, and when I first, you know, started meeting and dating women, I did it while playing basketball in advance of, you know, the whole approach thing, or basically whenever I saw a woman, you know, that's very, very rare over here in the Netherlands, but still, whenever I saw a woman, you know, play basketball, I immediately approached her and, you know, just played a match of basketball and then asked her for a number or that kind of stuff. Because basically, she saw that was my passion, and it gets a lot easier to talk to them, you know. And it's the same thing, I think, with playing guitar or martial arts or any other kinds of hobbies. When you look for women while exercising or displaying your hobby, whatever you want to call it, it's much easier to meet women because you have a shared interest, right?
Yeah, there's actually, you have a really good point in there, that the reason it's so easy for you to walk up and talk to that woman is you've got this immediate energy about you when it comes to basketball. Like, let's say, for instance, a guy's walking down the street and he sees a friend of his that he hasn't seen in years. It's a woman friend from his past. Is there anything is there any approach anxiety there? No, he's totally juiced to go talk to that person because he hasn't seen her in a while. As a matter of fact, he's like, he feels almost psychologically pushed into it. He's compelled. Yeah. You know, you want to yell across the street, hey, Jenny, or whoever it happens to be, it's me. You know, you get excited about it, and you have that positive energy where it's totally the exact opposite of approach anxiety.
Yeah.
So that's what you have when you have something like that sport, you know, like basketball. When you see a woman like that, you immediately have this push in your head that says, whoa, I got to go talk to her. It totally overcomes any approach anxiety. It doesn't even enter your head because you're so emotionally real about that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It definitely does to me, man. Yeah. So, well, basically, one of the other things I want to talk about today is where guys should, you know, I already mentioned it, but where guys should meet women, because one guy prefers clubs and bars over streets and stores, but what is like the best place to start? Because I know from experience that whenever I go out and coach men in clubs and bars, that a lot of women go there with a group of friends, right? And the moment you start approaching women who are in groups, it's a whole different dynamic going on there that most guys simply aren't aware about, and they end up screwing up the whole interaction. So what are like the most easiest places to start meeting women? Is it on the streets or at work, in college, you name it, man. What do you think?
Well, the funniest thing is that the easiest places are not the places that most guys think of as being easy, because we've been very, very programmed that we have to go to a bar or a nightclub because that's where everybody goes when they want to meet somebody. And unfortunately, it is true that it's a warm environment in the fact that everybody's open to being socially approached. But the fact is that, statistically speaking, I read something that in the U.S. it's like 2% or so of guys actually meet a long-term girlfriend from a bar. So that tells you that the real place, the one place that every woman wants to meet a guy, and I think every guy wants to meet a woman, the number one real place is parties and social gatherings.
Yeah.
It's any kind of warm market environment where people know people, so everybody else is socially proven right off the bat, and you don't get a whole bunch of that weirdness, and you know, you can approach anybody because all you got to do is say, so how do you know so-and-so, whoever's throwing the party? So that's a number one place I would tell guys in, to go. Number two is to use, actually, step back a minute. The whole philosophy of where to go is that you should have at least three places that you are actively meeting women in. I call this multiple streams of female income. And number one is that place, the social, warm social market, the parties, the friends of friends, things like that. Yeah. Number two is, I really believe in online dating as being a good supplement to that. I think
same
that
man.
Once you learn how to use it and you don't rely on it as being your only thing, because I think that's what happens is most guys use online dating as their only salvation, and then when it doesn't quite work out for them, where they start to run into a few obstacles, they give up completely and then they're totally lost.
Yeah.
So use online dating with something else. That's a really important caveat. Number three is to the social circles are good too in terms of just meeting people that are friends of friends. If you're not going to an event, like a party or something like that, you could also be, you know, meeting up with people. But number three would be things like speed dating events and things like that, any kind of singles events that you can go to. And you have to be kind of choosy about those because younger guys are going to notice that it's mostly older women tend to go to the singles events-based stuff. But the best, I think, in-between event where young and slightly older women go, but you also get a lot of younger attractive women, are things like speed dating. Speed dating has been, I used to actually organize speed dating events, and I always, it's funny because I actually dated like two or three of the women that I met at the events that they were supposed to be meeting other guys at, but it's a great way to do it because they're there for the same reason, they want to try something different, and most guys are just too chicken shit to try it out, so you have a good opportunity there to make some headway. It's also a great laboratory. Using speed dating is a perfect opportunity to try out some stuff that, you know, maybe you have a story you'd like to tell, or maybe you have a new question you'd like to ask, something with a little bit more energy, and you just want to try it out. Well, you know, use speed dating. You've got like 20 people that you're going to meet, and you get to try it out on all of them, and nobody's going to know that you did it. So it's a great way to do it.
Yeah, I think that the advantage of speed dating would also be that you can basically just see right off the bat in like one night what your first impression is on women, right? Like on 20 kinds of women, 20 different women, how you come across right off the bat. I think that's like, a major advantage, yeah.
It's like, I don't even know how to, it's like concentrated real life dating. It's cheaper, it's more time effective, it's more cost effective. You don't have to buy them a drink. You can totally work on, you can go to an event just to use it to try to get yourself comfortable and not even really meet the women or try and get a date out of it. Just try and improve your presentation and body language skills and see how that works. You know, it's just so much you can do with it. It's like a perfect laboratory.
Yeah, and same thing goes basically, well, in a different kind of way, of course, but for online dating, it's your perfect conversational laboratory. You can, like, practice any kind of line or thing to say, and what do women respond to more, and what do they, you know, dislike when it comes to conversational topics and that kind of stuff. I think online dating is ideal for that, those kinds of things, yeah. So, basically, one of the final things I wanted to ask you is, well, basically, where can people find more about you? Like, what kind of programs do you do? Do you have, like, a website where they can go to for more tips and advice?
Oh, definitely. They can go to carloszuma.com. That's CarlosXuma, not Z, XUMA.com. CarlosXuma.com. And then it's perfect place for them to go because it's kind of like the portal to everything I offer. But the first thing to do is just go to the right-hand side there and sign up for my newsletter because I'll pretty much send them everything they need to know. I'll send them free videos, audio, articles, a ton of free stuff, including a free ebook that they can just jump right into and start learning right away. And then they can learn more about the programs I offer too if it makes sense for them. But that's a perfect place to start.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'd like to thank you for, taking the time to doing this interview with me. And well, I guess I'll talk to you soon. And well, thanks so much, man, for taking the time.